Our sermon text for today is based on the Gospel of Mark chapter 6. Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith." This is the gospel of our Lord. It's Sabbath, and the good people of Nazareth shuffle into the synagogue to hear the word of the Lord. And in walks the Lord himself to teach them. What a privilege! What an honor! But by the end of the service, many of them leave the place worse off than they were before. Something happened inside there, and they are now unbelievers, cut off from the people of God. Jesus himself can hardly believe what just took place, but it is something that actually still can take place sometimes when the word is preached today. We might call it the hometown prophet effect. It defies logic, and it is very tragic. Nazareth was the town Jesus had grown up in. Grew up quietly, attracting no more attention than just a reputation for being a good kid. He'd lived there also in his late teens and 20s and working in carpentry. But recently, at about the age of 30, Jesus had taken up preaching and he was touring all the other towns in Galilee and healing people, making quite the name for himself. Large crowds were almost chasing him around the Sea of Galilee, and reports of his miraculous powers had spread everywhere. But now, finally, the famous prophet returns to Nazareth to preach in his hometown synagogue. And the people are just astonished after hearing this simple local guy preach to them. They don't know what to think. Where on earth is all of this coming from? Where did Jesus get that from? He's hitting them with some pretty deep wisdom, just like the rumors they had heard, and they still haven't seen any miracles for themselves, but they can't deny the reports that have been streaming in. What is this wisdom he now seems to have? And what is going on with these miracles we've heard about? Isn't this the carpenter? This is like seeing some guy on TV preaching to thousands and healing all sorts of people, and then when the screen zooms in on his face, you say, "What? Is that Bob? That guy just did my patio last year." Now, they would have known that Jesus was a decent fellow. Some of them had probably purchased his work, but Jesus never gave them reason to suspect him of being a brilliant preacher, and on top of that, a miracle worker. They are confronted with a riddle they just can't solve. On the one hand, he seems to be pretty brilliant, and the whole world is losing its mind about him right now. But on the other hand, that's his sister. And I think another one's here too. His mom is Mary, and I can name his four brothers, James, Joseph, Judas, Simon. It cannot be. There's no way Jesus is as great as they say he is. And that's the hometown prophet effect. Now, at this point, maybe you and I are thinking, okay, so you can name his previous occupation, his mother and his brothers, and you can locate his sisters. What's your point? It's not at all logical to now jump to the conclusion, well, he must not be from God. Every great prophet ever had a previous occupation, except for maybe Samuel, who prophesied since he was a child. But every great prophet had a mother a family, a hometown, and yet where did they get their grand prophetic messages from? From God. God stepped into their ordinary lives and gave them the words to say. This is obvious, basic Hebrew history we're talking about here. And so they did not have one single logical reason to reject him. But then again, when people are struck by this hometown prophet effect, when they reject Jesus for really no other reason than just familiarity, it's never logical. It's typical, as Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home, but it is not logical. Don't we still see this hometown prophet effect playing out today? A young person grows up in our Christian grade school, gets confirmed, but in high school and college, they start to drift away. They ask themselves, well, what if I was born into a non-religious family or even a Muslim family? I wouldn't believe in Jesus then. The only reason I've believed in him for so long is because that's the faith of my family, faith of my school and church. And they all really just forced me into this. Why don't I try a little taste of what the rest of the world has to offer? It's a big world, a lot of different opinions. I can't limit myself to this just because I grew up with it. Now, if you think about it, the logic that boils down to is basically, there must be something better than Jesus because I'm familiar with him, because I grew up with him. Don't you see how that just doesn't make any sense? Maybe this hometown prophet effect is actually just an excuse. And the real reason people reject Jesus is that they eventually run across something in his word that they don't like. After all, Jesus had offended the people of Nazareth. We're not sure what exactly he said here in Mark chapter 6, but when he visits Nazareth in Luke chapter 4, you can check it out for yourself. His words cut the Nazarenes right open. Aren't there more than a couple biblical doctrines that our rebellious, sinful nature just doesn't like? Fellowship, the roles of men and women come to mind. These are doctrines that radically oppose our modern sensibilities. They ask Christians to do impossibly uncomfortable things. They hand out roles to husbands and wives that are difficult and insult our pride. Or I think about Jesus' words in Matthew 10. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Essentially saying, if you want to be a Christian, you are agreeing to have life be hard. And we hear these things, and our sinful nature stands back, wounded, aghast, just overwhelmed. No! If I were to follow what the Bible seems to be saying, people would label me an extremist. I know Jesus. I like his words on my confirmation cake. I like him in that picture with the sheep. I like his words as decoration over my door, because that Jesus validates me. I know him. He makes me feel like everything is right with me. He doesn't ask me to do strange, hard things. He's just normal Jesus. And then we either ignore these hard things Jesus teaches, or we read them and reread them until we've misapplied them in a way that makes us feel more at ease. Because we like the old Jesus we're familiar with. We'd rather just know him and forget about the Jesus who offends us with wisdom that is too much for us. Is that logical? No. If a person is to believe in Jesus, they have no choice but to take all of Jesus' words as true. You can't choose which ones you like and say, I know Jesus. He's my old buddy that makes me feel better. He wouldn't say something that offends me, something that forces me to change my ways. You can't say that, because logically, Jesus' words should often compel us to reform ourselves. It is one of the major functions of the Bible to get us to repent and turn from whatever God says is wrong with us. Watch out for that hometown prophet effect. For denying Jesus on the basis of just familiarity It's not only illogical, it's also very tragic. Did you notice the tragedy that occurred in our gospel reading? The people of Nazareth had dutifully shuffled in to hear the word of the Lord, but when the Lord himself, also known as the Word made flesh, spoke to them, they turned their backs on him and left that place of worship as unbelievers. They thought they could prove that Jesus was just one of them, too ordinary to be their God. And that's why Mark says Jesus couldn't do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. Nobody else considered him to be anything special. Nobody else came to him for help. This is tragic because they normally relied on hearing God's written word read to them, and now they had God speaking in their midst, clarifying and revealing what he himself had taught in Scripture's pages. He had come to their little synagogue to turn them away from their wayward lives and point out the way to salvation. Heaven, the kingdom of God, salvation, it was all so close. It was standing in the room with them. But because of this nasty hometown prophet effect, they couldn't recognize it. They could not take God's word seriously. And they left God's house. They walked away from conversation with God, worse off than they were before, in open revolt against him, with their backs turned against the Savior and their feet headed for destruction. How tragic. It's tragic because the Word of God is not something that can be judged. It is something that can save you. If you ever feel the irrational pull of this hometown prophet effect, listen to the Apostle Paul for a second. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The words many of us have known and been familiar with ever since we were babies, those stories and psalms and prophecies which were a common, ordinary part of our everyday life for many of us, those words are more precious than gold and rarer than jewels. They are able to make us wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Our Savior has shown us the roadmap to heaven. And for some of us, he's been doing it over and over since before we ever even knew how to read a map. A person is saved out of this world of sorrow and hardship and sin simply through faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about the quality of the lives we lead or what we can do for God. We are saved because of the truth about what he has done for us. The truth which we have come to know and believe by the gentle yet powerful persuasion of the Holy Spirit. This is a truth we've all known for some time. But you know, you never would have heard it in your own home or from your relatives. Never would have heard it preached in your hometown if Jesus himself had not come to our Nazareth and spoken to our hard hearts the way of salvation. This kind of familiarity with Jesus makes you the most privileged people on earth. It makes our Thiensville one of the luckiest little Nazareths on the planet. It is no reason to reject him or toss out any part of God's word. That kind of thing, that hometown prophet effect, is so foolish it would almost be silly if it weren't so tragic. And if that has ever been you, why don't you repent with me today? Our sinful hearts often hate and disapprove of certain things that Jesus has to say. But the word of salvation has still come to us again today. Jesus is still your Savior. All his words are still true, familiar or not. And that means that we are still saved through faith in Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. The hometown prophet effect would deny or downplay that truth, and it would do the same to every other truth that Jesus gives us. So let's watch out for that. Makes no sense. and it only brings tragedy. Let's ask the Father in heaven, and Jesus Christ, his Son, to send the Spirit to purify our hearts and open our minds to this familiar, astounding word that makes wise for salvation all who hear it. Amen. May this peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.